This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he speaks about punishment, he speaks about punishment in two contexts. The first of those contexts is the punishment of the dunya, punishment of this world, whether it's punishing some of the previous nations that passed before us, or other types of punishment that may befall people in this world. And the second type of punishment is the punishment of the next world, of the hereafter, and in particular the punishment of the hellfire. The punishment of the grave, which is also a part of the afterlife, isn't something which is dwelt upon in the Quran. It is mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but it is not something which is dwelt upon in the Quran. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses on this aspect of punishment, and that is the punishment of Jahannam, of the fire. One of the things that you will notice when you study and analyze the Quran is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a concept or a theme within the Quran, at times Allah Azza wa Jal will pass over the concept very quickly. He will touch on it briefly and then he will carry on. For example, often in the stories of the prophets, the various prophets that Allah mentions in the Quran, he mentions aspects of their stories that are really touched upon very lightly. And then Allah Azza wa Jal continues with the story. But yet at other times, whether in the stories of those prophets or in other concepts and themes within the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go into very explicit detail concerning that issue. And sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal will repeat the same issue or the same theme many times throughout the Quran. Or if it is in a particular place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spend a number of verses speaking about that issue. One of the ways of contemplating the Quran and one of the methodologies that the scholars of the Quran have told us about is that when you see this happening, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes over a subject quickly, it is because it is not material to the issue at hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not distract us from the main goal, from the main objective, from the main lesson that He wants us to take away by going into frivolous details that are not necessarily material to the story. Whereas when the opposite happens and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into detail concerning an issue, and He stops and He mentions it many times throughout the Quran, or He will spend a whole passage, or He will give many verses to a certain issue or a topic or a detail, then that is to show its importance. And that this is something that you should stop and pause and ponder over and think about. It was also one of the ways of the Arabs of Jahiliyyah before Islam, that when they considered an issue to be important, they would repeat it many times. Repetition. Even in our tradition, it is said that the Prophet ﷺ, if he considered something to be important, he would repeat it three times. Often in the Quran, in the dua, for example in Taraweeh, the dua that the Imam makes in Witr, if it's something that he thinks is important, you will find that he repeats the dua three times. Repetition is something which the Arabs used to consider to denote importance. Also, what the Arabs used to do is that when they considered a subject to be important, they would give it many different names, all of them referring to the same thing, or referring to different aspects of that same thing. For example, we have many names of the Quran, many names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many names for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this to show that this issue, this concept, this theme, it is extremely important. One of those aspects in our religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates much detail to, and repeats often in the Quran, and gives to it many names, is the issue of reward and punishment. Jannah and Naar, paradise and hellfire. This is something that you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many times. Our religion is a religion of balance. From our aqidah and our belief system, is that there is a balance in the way that we approach an issue. From the balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in the Quran, is that Allah Azza wa Jal always balances reward with punishment, hope with fear, so that we don't become too hopeful and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't punish anyone, or He will never punish us. Nor do we fall into such a state of terror and fear that we think that there is no hope. no chance in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a balance between the two issues. One of the things that you also find is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in every single one of us the ability to appreciate something that happens to other people. We as humans have this capacity to appreciate the situation of others, to pretend that we are in their shoes, to place ourselves in their positions and in that scenario. If you hear, for example, of a rich, wealthy individual, has a lot of money, buys a lot of houses, travels across the world, has many cars, you may never have anything close to his money or wealth in your life. You may never experience anything close to what he is experiencing and enjoying on a daily basis. But as a human, you have the capacity and you have the ability, all of us, to appreciate at least some of what he's doing. You can imagine yourself in his position. You can think to yourself, if that was me, I would do A, B, C, and D. You can dream, if you want to call it dreaming. So we have this ability to place ourselves in that position. Also, as modern psychology tells us, the opposite is true. That we as humans also have the ability to appreciate bad news and punishment and terror and pain. We can appreciate it even though we're not experiencing it directly. For example, when you turn on your TV and you see what's happening across the world in wars and droughts and famines, and you see those pictures on the news, or you read the stories in a newspaper, it's not happening to you, it's not happening to your family, to your loved ones, it's probably not happening to anyone that you even know of. But just seeing those images and hearing those stories, you have the ability, the capacity as a human to place yourself in that position, to understand, to appreciate, to begin to imagine what it must be like. That is something which Allah Azza wa Jal has placed within us. Psychologists tell us, for example, that there is within our brain something called the pain matrix. The pain matrix is basically, if you were to see an image of someone putting a needle into their hand, or someone stabbing themselves, or someone inflicting pain upon themselves, or having a pain inflicted upon them, you cringe. You see this and you think, that's not very nice, or that must hurt, or that can't be a very pleasant thing to do. You have that ability. It's not happening to you. Maybe it's on a screen, it's something completely detached from your physical reality. But you have this capacity that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed within you to appreciate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in both of these scenarios of reward and punishment, and even though we're only focusing on the punishment aspect in this lecture, but we have that ability to appreciate. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the blessings of Jannah and the delights of Jannah and all that which Allah Azza wa Jal has placed within Jannah, we have the ability to begin to understand, begin to appreciate. Even though Jannah is something that none of us have ever heard or seen anything like it, nor can we imagine its true extent, but we can begin to appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal uses terms in the Quran to describe paradise and the fire that are familiar to us. He mentions fruit, even though, as the scholars said, as some of the companions even mentioned, that there is nothing similar between the next life and this life except names. The fruit of Jannah is not like the fruit of this world. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says grapes, they are not like the grapes that you buy at Morrison's or Tesco or Asda. But the names are familiar to us. Why? So that we can begin to appreciate. We can begin to understand. We can begin to comprehend. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the delights of Jannah. And He also tells us about the punishments of the fire, the terrors of the fire, what Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for those people, may Allah save us, who will become the inhabitants of the fire. So that we in this world can begin to appreciate, can place ourselves within that context, can think about what if that was me, or my children, or my parents, or my spouse, or one of my family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand these concepts. So when we say paradise as though you see it, the hellfire as though you see it, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran describes it in terms that you can begin to appreciate. You should imagine yourself in that position. You should imagine, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do this? What if Allah azza wa jal decrees, may Allah save us all, that I will enter into the fire. Because that is something which then will uplift your iman, will give you renewed energy in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Him and having perspective in what it is that Allah azza wa jal has placed you upon this earth to achieve. So throughout the Quran, throughout the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the things that is vividly described to us is the hellfire, the punishment of the fire. The fire has many names in the Quran, many names in the sunnah. All of this to denote its importance. One of the first things that we're going to touch upon, and one of the first things that it's important to understand, is that the fire is something which Allah Azza wa Jal has already created. It is already present. And there are many verses in the Quran, many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that show that this is true. That the fire is already there, it is waiting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Jannah and the fire complained. They argued with one another. And the paradise was saying that I am better because I am the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward of Allah. And the fire was saying that I am the punishment of Allah azza wa jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala settled this between them and He said to Jannah, you are my mercy, I will give you to whomsoever I will. And He said to the fire, you are my punishment, I will give you to whomsoever you will. That's just one example to show this aspect that Jannah and Nar, paradise and the fire, both of them are created. They are present at this very moment. And they are ready to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the creations of Allah azza wa jal. The fire is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon it guards. There are guardians to the fire. As Allah azza wa jal mentions in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. Its fuel is men and stones, people and stones. Upon it are angels, or are guardians, angels that are extremely harsh and severe. They don't disobey Allah in that which He orders them to do, and they do as they are commanded. The fire is something which has guardians, angels that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed upon them to guard them. These guardians are the ones that protect the gates of the fire. They are the ones who open the gates of the fire by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones who guard the fire. عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ. As Allah says in Surah Al-Muddathir, they are 19 in number. 19 in number. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in Surah Al-Muddathir, the same surah, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَ وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. These guardians of the fire that are 19 in number are angels. But this number, it is a fitna, a trial for those who disbelieve. Why is it a trial? The scholars mentioned, the scholars of Tafsir, rahimahumullah, because the disbelievers, when they heard this verse and they were told that the guardians of the fire are 19, they said, if there's only 19 of them, we'll overcome them. Even if we fall into the fire, it's only got 19 guards. You have more guards in a prison system here. 19 guards, easy, we'll overcome them and we'll escape. But what they don't realize is that a single one of those angels that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed to guard the fire is stronger than every single one of the human, or all of the human creation together. That single angel is stronger, more mightier, has greater ability, has greater strength and power than all of mankind put together. But that number 19 was a fitna, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, because when the Quraysh heard the number, they said it's not such a big deal anymore. 19 will overcome them, will escape. But the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah also mentions in the Quran, that the fire of hell is a vast creation. It's not something small, it's not something easy, rather it is a vast creation. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the fire will be brought out on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, with 70,000 chains. On each chain, there will be 70,000 angels dragging the fire. That is how vast this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That Allah azza wa jal, just to bring it out, the angels will have 70,000 chains. On every single one of those chains, there are 70,000 angels. Just to bring out the fire. The Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the fire of hell is so vast and so great, so big, that the fire will continue to accept people as it will come in, as the people will be thrown in and taken into droves and placed in the fire. It will continue to accept the numbers. And it will continue to keep bringing them in. As Allah mentions in the Quran in Surah Qaf, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. On that day when we will say to the fire, are you full? Have you had your fill? And the fire will respond and it will say, is there any more to come? Are there any more left? The fire is a great creation, a vast creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is more amazing than this, is that the people of the fire, when they enter into the fire, they will be made bigger. They won't be the size of normal humans. A 6 foot human, 6 foot, 5 foot, four. We won't be this size. The people of the fire, when they enter into the fire, they will be much bigger. Just as the people of Jannah will also be bigger. The people of the fire, when they enter into the fire, will be made bigger. And their bodies will be made bigger. And there will be more of them to take that punishment and to burn within the fire of hell. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us and our families. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the tooth of one of the people of the fire will be greater than the mountain of Uhud. A tooth, just one, of the people of the fire will be greater than the mountain of Uhud. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the distance between the two shoulders, the shoulder blades of one of the people of the fire, will be like the distance of a fast rider on a horse who rides for 3 straight days without stopping. A fast horse rider for 3 days, he doesn't stop. That will be the same distance of just the shoulder blades of the people of the fire. They will be made bigger. And this will be increased, as the scholars mentioned, so that they will have more of them to taste that punishment of the fire, more of them to be punished. Yet despite this, when those people enter into the fire, they will continue to increase in number, meaning that more and more of the people will be entered into the fire. And the fire of hell will continue to take them, and will continue to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give it more. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that every time Allah asks the fire, are you full? The fire will say, are there any more to come? And it will continue to take from the people of the fire, it will continue to take them until there is no one left, until Allah decrees that no one else will go into the fire. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place His majestic and blessed foot over the fire. And when He does this, then the fire will begin to close in upon itself, to constrict and restrict itself and close in upon itself and its inhabitants. And then it will say, قَطٍ قَطْ, enough of Allah, enough of Allah. So the fire of hell opens its gates by the permission of Allah. And it takes people by the permission of Allah. And it will only cease to take inhabitants from the people of the fire when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands it, that this is all of the people of the fire. The Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam that our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Adam alayhi salam, our father, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Ya Adam, akhrij ba'tha an-nar. O Adam, take out the portion from your children, from your progeny, take from them the portion of the fire. So he said, Adam alayhi salam will say on that day, Ya Rab, wa ma ba'thu an-nar. O Allah, and what is the portion of the fire? And Allah will respond and He will say, from every 1,999 will go into the fire. From every 1,999 will go into the fire. Only one will go into Jannah. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. The vast majority of the people will never be believers. They will be the people of the fire. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Most of the people believed in Iblis and they followed his path, except for a few of the believers, a small group of the believers. So Allah will say to Adam alayhi salam, take out from your children the portion of the fire from every 1,999. When the companions heard this, they became afraid. 999 from every 1,000, only one is saved. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the 999 will be from Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and the one is from you. And then he gave glad tidings, balancing this issue showing that hope, that ray of mercy and light that we, especially in this ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have, when he said, I hope that you will be a quarter of the people of Jannah. This ummah, you will be a quarter of the people of Jannah. So the companion said, we made takbir, we said Allahu Akbar. So he said, I hope that you will be a third of the people of Jannah. So he said, we made takbir and we said Allahu Akbar. And then he said that I hope that you, my ummah, will be half of the people of Jannah. So we made takbir once again, we said Allahu Akbar. But this shows how vast the fire is. The fact that it can take from every 1,999, and then those 999 are made bigger to the extent that a single tooth is like the mountain of Uhud. Their shoulder blades are like the distance of a fast rider who rides for 3 days. All of this shows how vast this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was one day sitting with his companions, and he heard a sound as if something was falling a great distance. So he said to the companions, do you know what that is? They said, no, O Messenger of Allah. He said, that is a stone that was thrown into the fire 70 years ago and it is still falling. Meaning that that is how deep it is. The pit of the fire is so deep. That stone was thrown over 70 years ago. Until now, it is still falling within the fire of hell. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us. And that's why the scholars mention, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, that just as Jannah has levels that ascend, then likewise the fire has levels which descend. And the harshest and the most severe of the levels of the fire is the one that is the deepest within that pit of Jahannam. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran concerning the hypocrites, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that indeed the hypocrites will be in the lowest depths of the fire. Dark is the opposite of daraja. Daraja means something which ascends, daraka is something which descends. They will have the lowest of the depths of the fire, the lowest levels of Jahannam. So when the people will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and they will be taken towards the fire, they will come to the gates of the fire. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ, that Jahannam has 7 gates. Each gate will take its portion of the inhabitants of the fire. Each gate will have its portion of people that will enter through it. Some of the scholars said that it is known in the Arabic language that the number 7 and its derivatives, 7, 70, 700, 70,000, in Arabic it denotes many, multitude, vast multitudes of number. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Jahannam 7 gates. Those gates to show that the vast majority of the people will enter into the fire. Whereas Jannah, paradise, has 8 gates, one more, because it won't have as many people as the people of the fire will be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to it 7 gates. Those gates, when the people will come initially, will be closed. عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَى. As Allah says in the Quran, when they come to the fire, it will be مُؤْصَدَى, meaning that its gates will be closed. The people of Jahannam, when they come on that day towards the fire, and they're taken, some of them dragged, others pushed, and so on and so forth, in chains and shackles, and what have you, when they come to the fire, its gates will be closed. And they will be in darkness. Because that is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from the sun its light. Yawm al-Qiyamah. The sun will remove, have its light removed. But its heat will remain. And then Allah will bring its heat, the sun, close to the heads of mankind. And so the people will sweat profusely, but they will be in perpetual darkness. The only people on that day who will have light is the believers. They will be given the light according to their levels of Iman, the levels of how much they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the people of the fire, they will be in perpetual darkness. So when they come to the fire will be closed. Its gates will be closed, but they will hear beyond those gates of the fire that are closed, the sound and the terror of the fire. And they will feel its heat, and they will smell its terrible odor. And they will know that they have come close to the gates of the fire. And that is when Allah Azza wa Jal will then suddenly open it in their faces. And they will be thrown into the fire of hell. Nas'alullah al-afwa wal-afiyah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the fire, its fuel is men and stones. People and stones. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Its stones, its fuel will be people and stones. Some of the scholars said that the stones that are being referred to are like big cones that will be placed in the fire to make it burn even more severely. And we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an authentic hadith that he said that indeed the fire of this dunya, the most that it can rage at, the most intense and severe that it can be, it is only one in 70 parts of the fire of Jahannam. It is only 1/70th of the intensity and the heat of that fire. The Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam also again to show the vast nature of the fire and how big it will be, that on that day the sun and the moon will be turned into something like an ox, an animal, and they will be placed in the fire. The sun and the moon, the vast, the greatest of creations of Allah Azza wa Jal in size that we know of, the sun and the moon, when it comes to in comparison to the fire, they will be like an ox or some kind of animal. That's how small they will be in relation to the fire of hell. The Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in the Quran, that the fire will have severe heat that will emanate from it. And its smoke and its odor itself, these things in and of themselves are punishment for the people of the fire. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, wa ashabu shimali ma ashabu shimal fi samumin wa hamim wa dhillin min yahmum la baridin wa la kareem. That the people of the left hand side, meaning the people who will be given their record of deeds on their left, these are the people who will be the fire, the people of the left. And what will allow you to understand who the people of the left are, they will be in samumin wa hamim, in intense heat and smoke, and they will be surrounded by smoke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, lahum min jahannam mihadun wa min fawqihim ghawash. When they enter into the fire will surround them from every single angle. It will be as if it is something which is laid beneath them, and it will be above them as well. And it will surround them from every single direction, meaning that they will have no refuge, no exit, no fresh air blowing in, nothing that will relieve even the tiniest amount of pressure or the tiniest amount of punishment from the inhabitants of the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran concerning the punishment of the fire, its heat, لا تبقي ولا تذر لواحة للبشر. It won't leave anything behind. Doesn't leave anything. Meaning everything that it touches, it decimates, it destroys. لا تبقي ولا تذر لواحة للبشر. It will take the skin of the inhabitants of the fire and it will melt it. It will disintegrate. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do for the people of the fire is that every time they are punished and every time one of those punishments of the fire increase and they take away from a person their innards and their intestines and their inner organs and their skin and everything else, and there is nothing left, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive that person, rejuvenate their skin, their organs and everything else, so that again they can taste the punishment, and that will continue for eternity. Because the fire is eternal. And that is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the fire is eternal. It won't stop, doesn't become destroyed, doesn't last for a short while, and then it ceases to exist, but rather it will continue forever and ever and ever, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in many verses in the Quran, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They will stay therein for eternity, forever. When the people of Jannah enter into Jannah, and the people of the fire enter into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn death into the shape of, in the form of a ram. And that ram will be brought in between Jannah and the fire, paradise and the fire. And the people of the fire will look and see what is happening. The people of Jannah will look and see what is happening. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will command that it be slaughtered, and it will be slaughtered. And then it will be said to the people of Jannah, for you is eternity in Jannah, there is no death. And it will be said to the people of the fire, for you is eternity in the fire, there will be no death. So the fire is something which speaks. It is something which sees. It is something which obeys the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّضًا وَزَفِيرًا. When the fire sees the people that will become its inhabitants from a far distance, it will rage in intensity. And so the people of the fire will hear the sounds of the fire well before they reach the fire. and they will begin to feel the heat of the fire well before they reach the fire of hell. Jannah and the fire speak, and they understand and they obey the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اشتكتِ النَّارُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا. Such is the intensity of the fire that even in this life, as we are living in this world, we feel some of the remnants of that heat of the fire, the intensity of the fire. اشتكتِ النَّارُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا فَقَالَتْ أَكَلَ بَعْضِي بَعْضًا. The fire of hell complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it said, O my Lord, indeed parts of me are devouring other parts. Parts of me are eating other parts. Meaning that the fire is raging with such heat and intensity, and that fire is so powerful that the fire is devouring itself. So the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَذِنَ اللَّهُ لَهَا بِنَفَسِينَ. So Allah gave it permission to take two breaths, to exhale two times in the year. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the severe heat that you feel in the summer, that is from the breathing of Jahannam. And the bitter cold that you find in the winter, that is from the breathing of Jahannam. So the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in all of these ahadith and others, that the fire of hell is something which speaks. It is something which, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks it, are you full? It will respond by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal will place within the fire the people of the fire. And those people of the fire are of two types. The first of them are those people of the fire who will stay there for eternity. And they are the disbelievers, and the kuffar, and the mushrikeen, and those people who worshipped others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, those people who apparently showed Islam, but internally they disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verses of the Qur'an, I think, are well known, and there are many in number that show that these two groups of people will have eternity in the fire of hell. But then there is another group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also place in the fire, and those will be the sinful of the Muslims. Those people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they were sinful. They committed sins. And Allah Azza wa Jal, with some of those people, He will punish them in this life and He will expiate their sins. Others from amongst them will be punished in the grave, in the barzakh, and so their sins will be expiated. Yet others from amongst them will be placed in the fire for a time that Allah knows best, for a duration that Allah alone knows, until they are cleansed from their sins and purified. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will extract them, He will take them out of the fire, and He will enter them into Jannah through His mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, mentions that from amongst those people who will enter into the fire, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. When they will be asked, what caused you to enter into the fire? They will say, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not from amongst those people who prayed. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we wouldn't feed the poor and the needy. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to be from amongst those people who used to mock and jest. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. And we used to disbelieve in the day of judgment. So this group of people are disbelievers, meaning that they don't fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't fulfill the obligations of Allah, because they don't believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet also we understand from these verses that those people who do believe in Allah, yet still they fall short in fulfilling what Allah has obligated upon them, then they too will have a portion of that fire, or they too may be punished if Allah Azza wa Jal so chooses. The Bedouin man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I will pray, I will believe, I believe in you, and I believe in Allah and you as the Messenger of Allah. And I will pray my five prayers every day. And I will fast the month of Ramadan. And I will give my zakah. And I will make my hajj, but I won't do anything more. And then the man left, a Bedouin Arab man. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the man left, aflaha wallahi in sadaq. This man will be successful by Allah if he has spoken the truth. Meaning that so long as you fulfill the obligations of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't punish you. That is the agreement that Allah Azza wa Jal has made with us. However, a person who falls short in fulfilling those obligations of Allah Azza wa Jal, they may be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also know from the Quran and the Sunnah that there are certain people that have been named, that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned them by name, that they will be people of the fire. It is generally the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is a part of our religion that even people who may apparently have died as non-Muslims, even though we say that the non-Muslims or the people who associate partners with Allah are in the fire, we don't go to individuals and say that they disbelieve or they died on disbelief, that they are in the fire, because only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows their reality and their situation at the time of death. We give a general ruling, but we don't say about individuals that so and so is in the fire, just as we don't say about the people who are believers outwardly and apparently that they have Jannah, that they are guaranteed Jannah. Because that's not something that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the ability to do. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran and also in the Sunnah, we know that there are certain people that have been named explicitly as being in the fire, like Pharaoh, like Abu Lahab, like for example Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning his uncle Abu Talib, that indeed Abu Talib, when Abbas radiallahu anhu came and he said, O Messenger of Allah, how did you benefit your uncle Abu Talib? He did so much for you, protected and defended you. What did you do for him? He said that through my intercession, Abu Talib will have the least punishment in the fire. Meaning he will be, as we said, the fire has many depths, many levels that descend. He will be on the outskirts of the fire. He will be on the outskirts of the fire and he will have two shoes or two sandals made of the fire. Because of it, his brain will boil. Because of the fire reaching his ankles, his brain will boil and that will be his punishment. And the Prophet ﷺ said to his uncle Abbas, were it not for my intercession, he would have been in the depths of that fire. So these are people that have been named. We know that they are in the fire because the Prophet ﷺ told us concerning them that they will be in the fire of hell. Those people who enter into the fire, this is the beginning of their punishment. Everything that we've mentioned, from the way that they will be expanded in size, from the way that they will have the heat of the fire and the smoke of the fire and the odor of the fire, from the way that the fire will surround them from every single direction, this is the beginning of their torment. This is the beginning. Because then once they enter into the fire, then they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will give them food from the fire, and He will clothe them from the fire, and He will give them drink from the fire. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Dukhan, إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُّومِ طَعَامُ الْأَثِيمِ كَالْمُهْلِ يَغْلِي فِي الْبُطُونِ كَغَلْيِ الْحَمِيمِ خُذُوهُ فَاعْتِلُوهُ إِلَى سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ ثُمَّ صُبُّوا فَوْقَ رَأْسِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْحَمِيمِ ذُقْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ. The people of the fire will be fed in the fire. When they are hungry or they want food or they want sustenance, they will be given that provision and that sustenance from the fire. They will be given a food that is known as dari', which is a type of prickly, thorny type of food. They will be given from the fruit of the tree of az-zaqqum. The Prophet ﷺ said concerning az-zaqqum, were a single drop of az-zaqqum to fall into this world, it would nullify or it would make evil and rotten everything that we would have used for our sustenance. A single drop would destroy all of our food, it would make it rotten, and all of our drink and everything that we require in order to live. A single drop from the tree of az-zaqqum. And Allah Azza wa Jalla describes it in the Quran and He says, طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Its fruit and its branches are like the heads of devils. So these people of the fire, they will be made to eat from this fruit. This is the sustenance that they will be given. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةً. It is a fruit or a food that has thorns in it. And because of how sharp and big these thorns are, when they eat this food, it will stick within their throats. They will be unable to swallow because of how prickly and thorny this type of food is. So then they will ask Allah Azza wa Jal for water, for something to wash this down with. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to them a type of drink, and that is al-hamim and ghislin. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاهُمْ. That these people, they will be given a water that is like murky, boiling, scalding oil and water, and they will be made to drink from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that they will have ghislin, which is the pus of the people of the fire. So the people of the fire, when they are into the fire and they are burning, that pus that will emanate from them, and the evil and the bad and foul liquids that will emanate from them, Allah Azza wa Jal will give it to the people of the fire to drink. They will drink from that. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us. So they will drink from it. Min ghislin. لا يأكله إلا الخاطئون. No one will eat or drink this type of food except the people who will be in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, because of the way that it is, it will destroy everything within them. وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ عَمْعَاهُمْ. That this water that they will drink will burn their insides. It will burn everything within them. And their skin will be burnt as well. Because then they will be given clothing from fire. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, that their fire will be فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قُطِّعَتْ لَهُمْ ثِيَابٌ مِّن نَارٌ يُصَبُّ مِن فَوْقِ رُؤُوسِهِمُ الْحَمِيمِ. Those who disbelieve, they will be given clothing from the clothing of the fire. Their clothing will be the fire. Their food will be from the fire. Their drink will be from the fire. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. Every single time their skin, their inside melts, it is destroyed, we will replenish it so that they may continue to taste from the punishment that we have prepared for them. And that is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that I was shown the fire, and never have I seen anything worse than the fire. Never have I seen anything more disturbing than the fire. So the people of the fire will be placed in the fire, and everything that they have will be from the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that from that which the fire will do to them, is that they will be taken onto their faces and dragged in chains and placed within the fire, and that the fire will surround them. But not only that, the fire will even touch the most deepest and innermost part of their bodies, and that is their heart. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوقَدَةِ أَلَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. That even their hearts will be covered and engulfed within the fire of hell. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَابِهِ. These people, once they enter into the fire, and they have the smoke of the fire, and the odor of the fire, and the food, and the drink, and the clothing of the fire, and all of these torments of the fire continue, and they continue, and they continue, and they will not cease, nor will they stop, except for those people that Allah will eventually remove from the fire, from the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the rest of them, they will have eternity. Allah says that if one of them could give all of the gold in this world to ransom themselves from that fire, they would do so. But on that day, it won't be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِ إِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. That the criminals, the evil doers in the fire, will wish on that day that they could even sacrifice, ransom their parents, their spouses, their children, the closest people that in this life they would have sacrificed for, they would have given up for, they would have possibly even given their lives for. On that day, they will want those people to be ransomed for them. وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Even if they had the opportunity, if they had the opportunity to give all of mankind as ransom in their place, they would do so. So when they have this punishment of the fire, they will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will ask Allah azza wa jal that there should be some lightening of this punishment of the fire, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make easy for them what is the punishment of the fire. وَهُمْ يَصْطَرِخُونَ فِيهَا رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. They will go through three stages of asking for help and relief from the punishment of the fire. The first of them is when they address Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهُمْ يَصْطَرِخُونَ فِيهَا. They will scream and they will shout within the fire, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. Oh Allah, remove us from this fire. Give us another chance and we will do actions that will please you. We will choose a path other than the path that we chose. We will lead a life other than the life that we previously chose. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not respond to them, but rather He will forbid them from ever addressing Him. They will not be allowed to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then they will speak to the guardians, those 19 guardians of the fire. لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمْ أُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ يُخَفِّفْ يَوْمًا مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. They will call out to the guardians of the fire and they will say, you call out to your Lord. you intercede on our behalf and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to diminish the fire, even if it is for one day. Give us respite for a single day. Those angels, those guardians of the fire, they too will tell them that they must stay therein, that they can't speak to them. So then they will call out to the head guardian of the fire, the gatekeeper of the fire, and his name is Malik, or that angel, its name is Malik. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكْ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكْ. They will call out and say, "Oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us. Let him kill us. Let him destroy us because of how severe the punishment is." And by this stage they will have realized that Allah Azza wa Jal will not respond to them, nor is there any relief for them, nor would Allah give them any mercy, nor would Allah Azza wa Jal alleviate any punishment from them, nor is there anyone from mankind, from the jinns, from the angels, anyone who can come to their aid and their assistance. So they will say, "Oh Malik, ask Allah to destroy us. Destroy us. At the very least, we don't have to go through this punishment." قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. And he will respond with a simple statement, and he will say, "You will stay therein forever. There is no death for you. There is no end for you." This is a brief description of the terrors of the hellfire. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed therein from the punishment and the terrors and the horrors of this punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and our families from it. When Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Quran, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions this in his sunnah, it is only for one purpose. So that we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared. Something that has been created, it is ready, it is waiting. So that we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared from his punishment. So that it is a reminder for us. And that is why it is one of the most often repeated themes in the Quran. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it in such vivid detail. And this isn't to say that it's just the people who commit major sins, who do major evil deeds or leave major obligations that are at threat and in danger of falling in the fire. But rather it is, you don't know which sin will lead you to the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "I saw in a dream the fire, and I have never seen anything more evil than the fire. And when I looked in the fire, I saw a woman being punished. So I said, 'Why is she being punished?' So the angel said to me, 'Because of a kitten that she imprisoned. Neither did she feed the kitten, nor did she allow it to go out to seek food and sustenance for itself. For that reason, she was placed in the fire, and she is being punished.'" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alerting our attention to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes someone as he chooses and as he wills. When you sin, it is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal to punish you. But to come out of that punishment and the threat of punishment, we need to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, increase in obedience to him, and more importantly, to make tawbah, to seek repentance and to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for his forgiveness. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed evening, in this blessed masjid, that Allah Azza wa Jal showers his mercy upon us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us his repentance, and that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives us for our shortcomings and our sins, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us for every sin that we have committed, past and present, small or big, that which was hidden, that which was open, that which we are aware of and we know, and that which we have long forgotten. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that he safeguards us and our families, our parents, our children, our teachers from the fire of hell, and that Allah Azza wa Jal safeguards us from every type of punishment and evil in this life and the next. هذا والله أعلم ونسبة العلم إليه أسلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
جزاك الله خير for that very informative lecture. We'll take a few questions inshallah. So if anyone's got any questions related to the topic, if you raise your hands inshallah, we'll try and take a few questions. Okay, if there's no questions, inshallah, I'd like to... one question. Okay, the brother's asking the question that you mentioned in the talk that nobody has seen the hellfire, but then you mentioned hadith in which you said the Prophet ﷺ said that he had never seen anything worse than the hellfire. So did the Prophet ﷺ actually see the hellfire?
2 points. Number one is that the Prophet ﷺ saw Jannah and the fire, but he saw them in his dream state. He saw them whilst he was asleep. And he entered into Jannah and he saw the fire as well. And there are many ahadith for both. Him seeing the fire and punishments of the fire and certain people that were in the fire. And him being in Jannah and seeing, for example, the palace of Umar radiallahu anh, hearing the footsteps of Bilal radiallahu anh, and so on and so forth. The second point is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning paradise, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Jannah is something that no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no mind can ever imagine. And what this means, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, is that our minds cannot comprehend the full extent of what is in Jannah. And even though we may hear, for example, that Jannah has trees, our eyes have not seen the likes of those trees. Our ears have not heard the likes of that description or the sounds of Jannah. Our mind cannot imagine what is actually in Jannah or even the fire, even though the terms may be familiar to us. And that's why I mentioned that the scholars said and the companions that the only similarity between this life and the next is the terminology and the names. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best.
Okay, anybody else? Oh, yeah. Walaikum salam.
When we hear of hadiths that talk about going to Jannah, for example, we recited item of Rasul after each Fard Salat, and that the only thing that prevents one from entering Jannah is death, does it mean that people that do such things are forbidden from hellfire?
Did you get the question? Repeat.
So the question is that there are certain hadith that tell us that if we do an action, for example, we perform a certain deed that they will safeguard us from the fire, they will protect us from the fire. There are two things that you must differentiate between here. Number one is the performance of the action, and number two, whether the action is accepted or not. So we, in our capacity, we perform actions and we do good deeds and we try our utmost to do them in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But none of us can guarantee or have the guarantee or any way of knowing for surety whether those actions and deeds are accepted by Allah. Perhaps they are accepted, perhaps for one reason or another they are not. And that is why we don't have the ability or the luxury to say, I read, for example, an ayat al-Kursi after a certain prayer, or I did something that the Prophet ﷺ said, if you do it, you have a palace in Jannah. I built a masjid, I did something, I don't need to do anything else. This hadith and every hadith must be taken in its full context within the sunnah. Therefore, the sunnah also says that yes, if you read ayat al-Kursi, you get a certain reward. If you build a masjid, you get a certain reward. If you give da'wah for the sake of Allah, you have a certain reward. But at the same time, he also says that if you don't do A, B, C, and D, then you will have punishment. So you must bring it all together. It's not that you just do one, you have a get-out clause. Rather, you must bring it all together. And then even then, you have no guarantee that Allah Azza wa Jalla has accepted those deeds. And that is why a person continues to work and come closer to Allah and continues to do more deeds or as much as they can do in the hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept some of them and inshallah many of them.
Okay, inshallah we'll end there and we hope to see you all next week. The lecture is going to be on paradise. Same time next week, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. SubhanAllahumma alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.